Canto 8, chapter 16, text 22, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON. Fortnight of the month of Phalgun, for 12 days ending with Dwadashi, one should observe the vow of subsisting only on milk and should worship the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead with all devotion. Purport, worshipping the Supreme Lord Vishnu with devotion means following Arichan Marg. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Arichanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam. One should install the deity of Lord Vishnu or Krishna and worship him nicely by dressing him, decorating him with flower garlands, and offering him all kinds of fruits, flowers, and cooked food, nicely prepared with ghee, sugar, and grains. One should also offer a flame, incense, and so on while ringing a bell as prescribed. This is called worship of the Lord. Here it is recommended that one observe the vow of subsisting only by drinking milk. This is called payovrata. As we generally perform devotional service on Ekadashi by not eating grains, it is generally recommended that on Dwadashi one not consume anything but milk. Payovrata and Archan devotional service to the Supreme Lord should be performed with a pure devotional attitude, bhaktya. Without bhakti, one cannot worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyaschasmitatvataha. If one wants to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be directly connected with Him, knowing what He wants to eat and how He is satisfied, one must take to the process of bhakti. As recommended here also, bhaktya paramayanvitaha. One should be surcharged with unalloyed devotional service. Phalgunasya male pakshe dvadashaham payovratam archayet arabindaksham bhaktya paramayanvitaha. See your watch. Srila Prabhupada begins his purport by discussing deity worship. Yesterday I was discussing with one devotee who is being trained in Mayapur in deity worship, who was lamenting what he saw, his observation that in our society, in some places, not here, the deity worship is going on in a way that just going on. Somehow or other the deities are getting dressed and some offering is there. So this is also one of the important points of our movement. The whole movement of Krishna consciousness is meant for satisfying Krishna. And the most merciful form of Krishna is deity form, because He allows us, who are not actually at all qualified, to touch Him, feed Him, clothe Him, all these different items. So when we say we're not qualified, that means that qualification is given by the spiritual master. All right, you do this, you can do, but we should know that we are doing this, but actually this is the job of the gopis, Mother Yashoda, to dress Krishna, feed Him. So pujari has to be very much in the mood of humility. Sometimes we see devotees, the service they perform, they think, well, I'm so exalted. But actually, it is a very exalted position to serve Krishna by worshipping the deities, or preaching, or distributing books, or whatever it is. These are activities, actually, liberated souls. These are meant for Paramahamsas, to touch the deity, to speak publicly about Krishna. Chanting around now? You can't hear and chant at the same time. So Prabhupada many times he said that all the devotees should preach. But in another place in his purpose he says that actually preaching or any of the activities of devotional service, they actually take place on the liberated platform. When one is fully liberated, then he can do these things. He can speak from full realization. We are saying Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have full faith in them. But pure devotee, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilanchana in a Sankasa Deva Hidiyeshu, Yilokayanti, is directly seeing Krishna face to face. So that direct realization is there of the pure devotee, but out of his mercy he engages other devotees also in the activities of Krishna consciousness, by which, by stating this with full faith, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. And by that firm faith, then we also come to the position of seeing Krishna face to face. And we also, by speaking like that, and by acting in consciousness of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then others also become purified. But we shouldn't think that I am purifying, I am Patita Pavan, purifying others. But rather, even though we are filled with so many dirty things in our heart, still, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of the Guru Parampara, by the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are being engaged in spreading the mercy of Krishna consciousness. So that point about deity worship, we should be very careful, as I say, I always feel when I come to this temple that one of the wonderful features of the very many wonderful features of ISKCON in Bombay, there's so much nice preaching going on there. One of the very nice features is the deity worship is here always very regular, practically to the second the deities are opening for each aunty, which is, I don't see anywhere else actually, they're so punctual. Festivals are very nice, dresses are very nice, Radharas Bihari's prasadam is, as you may know, incomparable. But we have to be careful to maintain standards also. Sometimes we see in history, sometimes the deity worship is going on very nicely, then gradually for one reason or other it declines. So we should be very careful to uphold the standard. And also another thing, we're opening so many temples, but we shouldn't get in the consciousness that we'll open a temple and somehow or other we'll have one or two pujaris, and then we'll call people and enroll them as life members and make some collection. But rather we should give good emphasis to this. Prabhupada himself personally gave a lot of emphasis to deity worship. He never thought that it's just somehow or other it has to go on. Okay, it's just unfortunately we had the deities on the altar, and that's, we have to put at least one man or two men who could be engaged in something useful like collecting money. But anyway, we'll just put one or two men and somehow or other let it go on. But rather, it should be round the other way, that if we satisfy Krishna, yasmin tushte jagat tushta, if we satisfy Krishna, then everything else will follow. So we shouldn't think, well, Krishna satisfied by everything, therefore somehow or other go on with the deity worship. But rather, in any temple community, the center is Krishna, who is very kindly here, has agreed to come. Not that he has to get anything from us, but rather out of his causeless mercy, he allows us to serve him. So we should be very conscious of this, that whatever we do, Krishna says, yad karoshi yad ashnasi yad shahoshi vidasiya yad tapasasi kantaya tad karushma mad arpana. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever sacrifices or charity you do, do as an offering to me. So in our temples, whatever services are there, many services are there, they're all based around satisfying Krishna. Just like we read the Sankirtan scores, we follow Krishna. So the idea is that when we're out on Sankirtan distributing books, we're out enrolling like members, our consciousness is always there. And I'm doing this for the pleasure of Radha, Rasbihari, Gaunitai, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman. The consciousness that we're not disconnected from the deities. That even though we're going outside, we're doing whatever services we're doing, the whole consciousness is how to satisfy Krishna, who has so kindly appeared here. And this, when we talk about temple communities, there's a lot of talk in our world about community building. But what will be the basis of that building? Sometimes we talk about relationships and calling some psychologist and all these things. But the real psychology that will build our communities is that everyone in the community is a servant of Krishna. That's our philosophy, isn't it? That we're all servants of Krishna. So in the community, Community means so many people, and the most important person who holds the community together, who everyone is offering their services, is Krishna. He's also a person. He's not just a stone figure there on the altar, just as Prabhupada said about Radha Landanishwara, deities in London. Sometimes people criticize it. What funny name is this, Radha Landanishwara? We heard of Radha Damodar, we heard of Radha Govinda, we heard of Radha Madan Mohan, but we never heard of Radha Landanishwara, and we never heard of Radha Partha Sarati either. Seems to be a strange, well, it may seem strange to you, but anyway, Prabhupada gave the name, and Krishna is Landanishwara, and he is Partha Sarati, so Prabhupada said, and he knows Krishna, so he can give this name. So Prabhupada said about Radha Landanishwara that actually he's not a deity. He's Krishna pretending to be a deity. Radha and Krishna, that actually, of course, all the deities, they are Radha and Krishna. But Prabhupada was jokingly making this point that consciousness, that the deity is Krishna, and he's come, he's pleased with our offerings, even though we're not qualified to offer. What will we offer to him? Mother Yashoda is feeding him, Radharani is feeding him. Then what will we offer to him? But he's pleased even with the neophyte devotees, the beginning of their attitude of devotion. Just like here it is stated that one should offer everything, bhaktya paramayam vitaha. One should offer everything surcharged with unalloyed devotional service. And this is discussing the payavrata process of worship, which is executed for the some purpose is there, that we're doing some austerities in devotional service for the sake of satisfying Krishna, but also there's some idea, I will get some benediction. But at the same time it's said that that should be done with a mood of full devotion. So even if people are coming with so many different material motives, we'll see in the temple so many people, local people are coming regularly, and other people are coming. So many people are coming to this temple. It's a very nice feature of this temple. So many people are coming all the time and getting the darshan of Krishna. Still, in India, there's some hope, despite Michael Jackson and all this invading India, despite the invasions of Rakshasa culture, still there is some hope. You see, so many people are coming to the temple. So they're seeing Krishna. And no doubt, they're praying with so many material motives. But this mood is being preached in our Krishna conscious movement. You may say, what is the difference? Why are we opening so many temples? There are already so many temples of Krishna. And why should we open more temples? Because in our movement, we are preaching, don't only come and see Krishna. You may pray also, please help me God with my material desires. But this mood is being preached. We're distributing our books, we're giving our classes, we're meeting people, we're preaching the mood of unalloyed devotion to Krishna. So that even if people, they're coming with material desires, if they get this message that actually we should offer everything to Krishna, and even if they don't hear, if they see our devotees who are engaged in offering everything to Krishna, then also people become very impressed. Our movement has a respectable position in India at the present time because people, they know we have principles. We rise early. We don't take any intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating or gambling. People are impressed by this, that we're engaged. They see us. We're out in the cities distributing books, giving knowledge of Krishna consciousness. People are impressed by this. Our movement has a respectable position, not only due to big temples, but due to the behavior of the devotees. Dharma sthapan hetu sadhu vyavahar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that religious principles are established in society by the behavior of devotees. How are the devotees behaving? So if people see that our devotees are dedicated to Krishna, then they also become inspired. Or inspired is one side, or they may feel ashamed that why are we not doing it? Just like one Marwari gentleman was saying to me recently. He said, actually when we see your Western devotees coming here and they're coming from those Western countries, we're imitating that culture. And you have come here to preach Krishna Bhakti and you're practicing. We're feeling ashamed that why they're doing and we are not doing. So then I said to him, no need to feel ashamed. You do it also. And then you'll feel very happy by practicing this. So people are coming and this mood of unalloyed devotion is being preached. This is the center point of our society. Krishna and devotion to Krishna. Bhagavan and Bhakti. That is the specific difference in our movement. Again, you may say, why have another movement? There are already so many movements. That Prabhupada, he asked his disciples once at Kumbh Mela. If you go to Kumbh Mela, you'll see so many shibirs, big, big pandals and some smaller organizations, small tents. But great city, you can see, of tents. And every tent means there's another mat and another pat. Jato mat, jato pat. It's all Hare Krishna. That's not our philosophy. Anyway, there's so many tents. And they're all, everyone means there's a different idea. Maybe a little bit different. Basically, they all think they're God. They're all wrong. Anyway, Prabhupada asked his disciples, so there are so many groups here, and there are so many different sadhus, and we're also here. So what is the difference between our group and any other group? So some devotees gave different ideas. But Prabhupada gave the idea that our movement is the Back to Godhead movement. Doesn't mean that, oh, of course, they were selling thousands of Bhagavad darshans. But that wasn't exactly what Prabhupada... That wasn't the point. The point he was making is that all these movements, they have different ideas. That we will merge into the existence of God, we will become God. But our movement is meant for surrendering to Krishna and going back to Godhead. And practically there may be so many movements there, but those who follow the path of Krishna consciousness, they go back to Godhead. And others, they may go out of this material world temporarily to the impersonal Brahman. They may do. Although, actually we don't expect many of them even to do that. But specifically those who take part in this Krishna conscious movement, they are on the path back to Godhead. As Prabhupada wrote in the purport of one of the songs in the songbook, that don't think that this chanting and dancing will not give the required desired result. It will. Anyone who takes part in this movement of Krishna consciousness, they will go back to the spiritual world and join the Supreme Lord in his transcendental pleasure dance. What does that mean? Confirm? Jai. Many times Prabhupada said that if anyone follows the regulated principles and chants 16 rounds, they will go back to Godhead. So you may say, well, how is that possible? I'm following the regulated principles and chanting 16 rounds, but, yes, it's a very big but, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, all these bad things are in the heart. The process of chanting Hare Krishna is chito, darpana, marjanam. But we may be feeling, but where is the chaitanya is there, but it's not clean. We're feeling not becoming clean. But Prabhupada has promised, if you do this, you'll go back to Godhead. Then, how is it possible? Well, Prabhupada said, so whatever Prabhupada said must be true. So, we should have faith in that if we just stick to this process of Krishna consciousness, we will become cleansed, and we will go back to Godhead. And anyway, what is there to do? You may think, well, I'm making slow progress. But then what is the alternative? Go outside, grow your hair, go to parties, go to Michael Jackson concerts, watch Miss World on television. And what else is there to do? Only by engaging in this movement of Krishna consciousness can we even have any hope of becoming purified. So even if it's slow progress, we should go on with this process of Krishna consciousness with firm faith that if I sincerely try to serve Guru and Krishna, that progress will be there. Tadera charana shevi bhakta sanevas janame janame mor eyogilash. It may be that I may have to take many births, but our activities should be going on with Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees serving Krishna. So this movement is a movement of great hope. Sometimes even devotees become discouraged. They see, well, there are so many problems in our movement. Yes, there are so many problems. From the very beginning, there have been so many problems. It wasn't that when Prabhupada was present that everyone was automatically a Paramahamsa. There are so many problems. There are so many problems. And rest assured, or not rest, or be disturbed by the fact that there will be many problems. Because we are living in the material world. We're not living in some utopia. This Krishna conscious movement is a hospital. If you go in a hospital and you see so many people have bandages and so many people have high fever, you may say, well, this is a terrible place. No doubt everyone is sick, but they're in the hospital means they're in the process of being cured. And some may be cured and some may not. Some may relapse, some may not follow the process very serious. They may not take up the cure very seriously. But this is different from a material hospital in which you go in and you may get cured or you may not. But this is different in as much as anyone who comes to this hospital and follows the doctor's prescription. What is the doctor's prescription? The medicine is chanting Hare Krishna and the diet is Krishna Prasad. So if anyone who follows this prescription, they must be cured. May take more time, may take less time. And in the meantime, you may have different symptoms. But anyone who follows this process must be cured. No one can say such a thing. You go to Jaslok Hospital or Hinduja Hospital, they cannot guarantee, even if you pay them 5,000 rupees to feel your pulse, they cannot guarantee that they're going to cure you. But this is guaranteed, that anyone who takes to this process of Krishna consciousness and they follow the prescription, that they will go back to Godhead. Follow the prescription means they have to take up this mood of unalloyed devotional service. If anyone comes to Krishna consciousness, but they are deliberately harboring ulterior motives, that let me worship Krishna very nicely, and I'll be a very nice devotee, and after some time, one nice sannyasi will come from America and give me a ticket to America. Then I'll go there and I'll do very nice devotional service until I get my green card, and then I'll sell t-shirts on the beach and make a lot of money. And this is called ulterior motive. So we cannot expect to become purified if we deliberately maintain ulterior motives. But if our motive is only how to satisfy Krishna, then certainly Krishna Bharadoyamai, Krishna is very merciful, even though we have many bad things in our heart. And we do have many bad things in our heart, because we are from time immemorial, we are in this material world cultivating material desires. So even though there may be bad things in the heart, we should have the faith that if we are actually sincere to serve Krishna, then certainly we will become purified. And even though it may take time, we should go on with our service, serving the deities, preaching the message of Krishna consciousness, whatever our service may be, doing that with great faith, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, even there are bad things in our heart, even that, we need not become overly disturbed, because we should know that if we follow this process, rising early, chanting our rounds, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then the purification will be there. Just like we see here, this is the Payavrata process of worship. This was given by Kashyap to Aditi for her purification. She had some material desire, but Kashyap gave that to her by following this process, by engaging in the activities of Krishna consciousness. She was to become purified. So we should have great faith that if we simply go on with this Krishna conscious process with all seriousness, then we'll become purified. And we see that factually. We see that devotees who stay in this movement and who are seriously cultivating Krishna consciousness, that the purification, it does take place. You see, devotees, they become more and more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Of course, even senior devotees, sometimes we see they may slip, as Prabhupada has written in Bhagavad Gita purport, that even on the royal roads, there may be an accident. So one has to be very careful. Even if the driver is a very good driver, it doesn't mean that if he's not inattentive, then there may, even he's a very experienced driver, but if he's inattentive, there may also be a slip. Good driver means he's always attentive. But if he thinks, I've been driving for 20 years without any accident, therefore, I can be inattentive. But the rules are the same. If you're inattentive, even after 20 years of driving, there's no guarantee that just because I am a good driver, that you won't have an accident. The same thing will happen. So one always has to be attentive and follow, and purification will be there. There are many, many, many examples. Giriraj Maharaj was telling one that when he joined the temple in Boston, this must be late 60s. So there was one Bhakta Peter, I think his name was. You know the story, huh? Anyway, it's a nice story. So he was a bit of an eccentric fellow. He still is an eccentric fellow. Not a bit of an eccentric fellow, highly eccentric. So he used to sit in the doorway of the temple with his legs stretched out, with a cloth over his head, and mumbling away his rounds. So whenever anyone entered the temple, they saw eccentric Dr. Peter, whose cloth was always not very clean and torn, and that was their first impression. So the devotees, they were a little upset with him. But Prabhupada was coming regularly. In those days, there were only about 10 temples, so devotees got a lot of association with Prabhupada. They would complain to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, can't you tolerate? These two chanting, just tolerate. So then Giriraj Maharaj, he didn't go to America for many years, And one time he went to Los Angeles and he saw one older looking devotee. And he thought, I saw that devotee somewhere before. Who's that? Is that Bhakta Peter? Because he thought, this nutcase, how could he? He must have bloomed years ago. He said, what's his name? He said, oh, that's Kushakrata Prabhu. Oh, so Kushakrata, he's translated literally dozens of books from Sanskrit. He's doing this nice service. So then he remembered, Prabhupada used to say, can't you tolerate? Can't you tolerate? Prabhupada himself was so tolerant. Even devotees, sometimes even Prabhupada's own disciples, they would steal money. Prabhupada tolerated. Give it, someone big position, fall down, come back. Okay, again the GBC. Try it again. So very tolerant and merciful. Same time strict. That's, how can you be strict and at the same time tolerant? And this person is, he's a very clean, dirty person. Does it make any sense? You can't be clean and dirty at the same time. But Prabhupada, because he was transcendental, on transcendental platform, strict and liberal at the same time. Means, you will hear Prabhupada speaking, someone asked him that, well, what about if your disciples, they're not chanting 16 rounds? Then Prabhupada said, then they're an animal. They're not a human being. Why? Because a human being can make a vow. He can make a promise. So you promise, I will chant 16 rounds, and if you don't follow, then you're not a human being. You're an animal. But then, when Prabhupada met his disciples, someone may be struggling, he would encourage them, be very kind to them. He didn't reject them. So in the class, he may be very strong. But individually dealing with people, he was very encouraging. Sometimes chastising also. Prabhupada was, if that example Prabhupada himself gave, that if there is a little flame, little spark of inclination to serve Krishna, that should be fanned. We should try to bring out that little spark after many, many millions of lifetimes. We may again get little inclination to serve Krishna. So anyone who's coming, we should try to fan that spark. And of course, in the fanning, We may also, they may do this, don't do this, maybe little strictness or more strictness, but we should be very careful in the being strict side, that we don't extinguish the spark altogether. And anyone who has come to Krishna consciousness, it is a wonderful thing after many, many millions of lifetimes. So we should appreciate that. Anyone who's trying to serve Krishna, just like Krishna himself, he appreciates. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't need our service, but he accepts. All right, you can dress me. Who are we to dress Krishna? But Krishna is given the opportunity. Yes, you do. And even you may not be so much pure, but Krishna, you want to do this service? All right, I'm here. I'm standing here. I'm willing to accept. So Krishna, he is very merciful. He's willing to accept that service. So we should also not take advantage of that and think I can serve Krishna in any way. But at the same time, we should be very much encouraging others to come forward and serve Krishna. And now in Bombay, so much congregational preaching is there. So many people are reviving their inclination to serve Krishna. So let us do that in a way that people will very personally revive their relationship with Krishna. Means, from the very beginning, institute the consciousness that we have come to serve Krishna. Here is Krishna. Please, instead of just saying, please come to the temple, but please come and take darshan of Radha Das Bihari. Oh, well, watch it flow. Because I know this must be on time. Hare Krishna. Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai.